of the path of pleasure. I toiled for earthly treasure, but peace beyond all measure I found in only Jesus. My sins are all forgiven, the chains of sin are riven, and all my heart I've given to Jesus, only Jesus. My boasted goodness failed me, no cure for sin that ailed me. God's Spirit then prevailed me to leave my sins on Jesus. God's Word I long resisted, His Spirit called, insisted. Repenting, I enlisted with Jesus, precious Jesus. My sins are all forgiven, the chains of sin are riven, and all my heart I've given to Jesus, only Jesus.
Amen.
O Christ, for love unceasing, for blessings e'er increasing, for all my fears releasing, I praise and love my Jesus. My sins are all forgiven, the chains of sin are riven, and all my heart I've given to Jesus, only Jesus.
Amen. Well, Pete, you see these folks get seated. Some visitors here. Turn up two places in your Bible. Amen. That was good. Psalm 20 and Psalm 121. If you're real fast, you can turn to Exodus 5, verse 30. But I want you to look this morning at Psalm 20 and Psalm 121. And if you don't get the other passages, it's not as important. And I know 4 is a lot to look up with since you only have 2 hands. So Psalm 20, Psalm 121, Exodus 5, and Proverbs chapter 30. The Lord gave me confirmation on what to preach this morning. I had a couple of messages that just put together and wasn't really sure what to do, and the Lord showed me, so I'm glad for that. In Exodus chapter 5, when Moses goes down to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he goes to Pharaoh in verse 1, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And that's all right for God's people to go and hold a feast unto him. Amen. As a matter of fact, God wants his people free to do that. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And I'm going to take my text from that question this morning, who is the Lord? And Pharaoh said, "I don't know the Lord." But I can say this morning that there are some people who did know the Lord. And I can find out who the Lord is by looking at what they said about him. In the 30th Proverb, in verse number 7, the writer asked that two things. He says, "I have required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me,
lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. This writer, the man is Agur, the son of Jacob, here in this particular passage, but he's concerned that he not have the situation in his life such that he forgets the Lord. He says, who is the Lord? You know, you can know God, but you can lose your relationship with God, and then you don't really know who the Lord is when you get to that point. And in this case, he was concerned about too much material prosperity. That's a common cause. If you've got everything you need and you don't have to trust God, it's easy to forget God. It's not wrong to be financially set, but it's wrong to trust in those things and forget who the Lord is. In the 20th Psalm, in verse number 7, Psalm 20 in verse number 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And if we can do that, if we can trust in Him and remember His name, we'll not fall, we'll not be destroyed, we'll not be overtaken by the enemy. The 121st Psalm says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. To understand God, to know God, you must first of all understand Him as the Creator, and know the distinction between the creature and the Creator, and know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the creating God of the Bible. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And here he says, these things are in the second person. The Lord is thy helper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. You know, you look up in your computer Bible, the Lord, and it's just too much in the Bible to just squeeze it all into one message. Everything that the Bible says about the Lord. The Lord, we could read in Exodus, is the man of war. We didn't read that, but He is. He is a man of war. And here's a place where it says, thy Lord, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. But I just took an angle this morning and I looked up all the places where it says, the Lord is my. And what is God, people who knew the Lord were able to say about the Lord is my, and then whatever it was. That's what God was to them. Here we're told that the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. And that's somebody telling somebody else what God should be to them. But also the psalmist said what God was to him. We're told the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Father, we ask that you'd speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, and we might see the Lord. And Lord, like those Greeks came and said, sirs, we would see Jesus, Lord. I believe the people are here this morning, God, because they want to see you. They want to hear from you. They don't want me. They want you. And I pray, O God, that I might magnify you this morning. And I pray, Lord, that whatever hindrance Satan would try to throw in to disrupt it, Lord, we pray, O God, that thou would silence him, Lord, that thou would bind and rebuke him. We pray, Father, be liberty here this morning. The people of God, feast on your person. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. When Pharaoh asked the question, who is the Lord, he was somewhat justified. This is probably his first introduction. The problem is, he didn't pursue the question, and his life was never changed by asking, who is the Lord? But I believe that most of us that are here this morning, if you're saved today somewhere along the line, I think you probably asked the question, who is the Lord? By the way, this has nothing to do with the message, but is the air conditioner still running? Is it? Okay, so I can know this one is, but it's getting hot up here. And so I want to know if maybe that one had stopped, because I can't hear it, and I'm not sure if there's any that air blowing around. It's going to get steamy if that air conditioner is not blowing. But you asked the question, who is the Lord? And you sought Him in a number of places. You might have sought Him in some kind of drug trip. You might have sought Him in some false religion. You might have sought Him in some philosophical system. You might have disbelieved that the Lord was at all. But if you're saved today, you asked yourself, who is the Lord? And you found out who He was. You found out His name was Jesus Christ. And you found out that He created the universe and that He died on a cross for your sins. But I begin in Exodus chapter 15 this morning. But before we go there, you can just turn to Exodus 15. But before we look at that, I just want to remind you the same things that the Bible tells us that we're to do with regard to the Lord. Before we define who the Lord is, I want to remind you this morning that
Psalm 2:11 says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Psalm 4 and verse 5 says, "Put your trust in the Lord." Psalm 9 and 11 says, "Sing praises to the Lord." Psalm 16:7 says, "Bless the Lord." Psalm 16:8 says, "I have set the Lord always before me." Psalm 18:3 says, "Call upon the Lord." In Psalm 20 and verse 7, we're told to remember the name of the Lord. And we're told to give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We're told to sing unto the Lord and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. We're told, oh, love the Lord. We're told, be glad in the Lord. Rejoice and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. Praise the Lord with heart. Sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. That's a double banjo. I'm interested in hearing that. Amen? Let all the earth fear the Lord, and the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. We have 12-string guitars. That's a 10-string banjo. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Let us exalt His name together. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Fear the Lord. Be joyful in the Lord. Rejoice in His salvation. Shout and be glad. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord. Commit thy way in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Behold the works of the Lord. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. In God I will praise His word. I'll be glad in the Lord. I'll remember the works of the Lord. I'll show unto the generation to come the praises of the Lord. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering to the Lord. Oh, worship the Lord all in the beauty of holiness and fear before Him all the earth. Make a joyful noise, a loud noise. Rejoice and sing praise. Exalt the Lord. Worship at His holy hill. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord. Make known His deeds. Seek the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All that men would praise the Lord. Greatly praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Praise ye the Lord. The dead praise not the Lord. This time forth and forevermore, but we will praise the Lord. I love the Lord. I will walk before the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I wait for the Lord. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance, and praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Who is the Lord? Sounds like somebody pretty wonderful to me. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 2, when the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt and passed through the Red Sea, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. And then it says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Now I'm going to try and take you progressively through what different people in the Bible say the Lord is, or the Lord is my. And we're going to refer back to Exodus 15:2 again and again before we're done. But I want you to notice right now where it says, He is my Father's God. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Now, you're not saved by having a Christian dad or a Christian mom, but I believe the best way to make a Christian is the Bible way in Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Where it says, raise up a child, and the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, you might get saved down the road a little bit, and you probably, like me, can't say, He's my Father's God. But you know, I'm thankful for those who can. I'm thankful that my wife can say, she can read that passage, and it can relate to her, and it can speak to her heart, and it can stir her up, and she can say, who is the Lord? He's my Father's God. What a thing it is to be able to grow up in a home where dad knows the Lord. and where it's dad who reads the Bible, and it's dad who leads the family in family prayer, and it's dad who goes out and tries to win people for the Lord, and it's dad who's the one who sets the example and the spiritual climate for the house, and the children can rise up and they can know that the Lord is their Father's God. Now, maybe you didn't have that, but you know you can provide that. You can provide that. That's really where it should start. Most of us come in here today and we can't say, "The Lord is my Father's God." But God help you if your children can't say it. Who is the Lord? Moses and his companions said, "The Lord is my Father's God." Now, somewhere down the road, you're going to have to say for yourself, "The Lord is my God." And it's there in that same verse. He is my God. And just because your dad prays, and just because your dad reads the Bible, and just because they take you to a fundamental Bible-believing separated Baptist church, does not mean that you're a Christian for that reason. He's got to be your God. The Lord is my Father's God. Yes, amen. I can say He's my father-in-law's God. Thank the Lord for that. But I can also say He's my God. And because of that, Moses said, "I will prepare Him an habitation." Where is that habitation of the Lord in your life? Well, if He's the Lord, it ought to be the throne room. Isn't that right? I will prepare a habitation for not sweet Jesus. That's how I'll prepare a habitation for my Savior. It does, although He is those things. He says, "I'll prepare a habitation for the Lord." And if He's the Lord, that means He should be the Lord of all. It means He should be in the throne room of your life. Not squirreled off in the kitchen or the living room or the bathroom, but He should be in the throne room. He shouldn't just be the fire escape outside hanging off the window. Amen? I will prepare a habitation for the Lord. Paul prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And that's where I want Him. The Lord is not only my Father's God, but the Lord is my God. And if He's my God, Psalm 38 and verse 15 says, "For in Thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God." If He's my God, then I pray to Him. I ask Him for things, and He says He'll hear me. God won't hear you for your father's sake, but He'll hear you because He's your God. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. If He's my God, I pray to Him. If He's my God, I trust in Him. I know it's all in His control. We don't see God big enough sometimes to be able to handle what's going through our lives. We can trust God to deal with somebody else, and we can very tritely and in a kind of cliched way cite the verses and say, "Well, the Lord must be trying to teach you something, or the Lord must be doing something in your life, or God's got something He wants you to learn out of this." But what about when we're facing it ourselves? The Lord is my God, and I will and in Him will I trust. If He's your God, you can believe He's good. If you believe He's God, you can believe that He knows the end from the beginning. And the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Who is the Lord? He's God. He's God. It means He made the universe. He's God. It means that all things are held together by the word of His power. If He's God, it means there was not anything made that was made unless it was made by Him. In Zechariah 13:9, God says, "I'll bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call upon my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God." And you really, when you ask the question, who is the Lord? I really believe you only come to know the Lord as your God when He puts you through the fire. Because there in the fire, who's God in your life is going to really be tested, isn't it? Oh, we're so autonomous. Someone told me not too long ago, they told me about a preacher who gave counsel in some things and then turned right around and he gave him duplicitous counsel. In one place he told him to do this to make your situation better. On the other hand, he told him to do something that was really taking the whole situation out of God's hands and putting it in their own. He said, "If you want to get this situation fixed, what you have to do is you need to go get this medical procedure. And you get that medical procedure and then everything will work out okay." And you know what? That was telling that person to be their own God. The medical procedure he was recommending was taking the will of God into their own hands and saying, God, you can't do that. That's not the way to solve your problems. The way to solve your problems is to not take matters in your own hand and establish yourself as your own God. God said, I'm going to bring them through the fire. But when I do that, they'll call on my name and I will say, it's my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. If the Lord is your father's God, you'll see that happen in his life and you'll know what to do when you go through the fire yourself. Isn't it interesting that when the three Hebrew children were cast in the fiery furnace, and Nebuchadnezzar, of course, saw the fourth person walking in there, and he said the form is likened to the Son of God, that the three Hebrew children didn't want to get out of the furnace? I mean, the ropes, the bands were burned off of them. They weren't held. They were up and walking around. They bound them hand and foot and cast them into the fire. And when Nebuchadnezzar saw them, he saw four walking in the fire. But because of the fourth, the other three didn't want to get out. You say, man, I'm going through the fire. Yeah, but you got company. Heard a lady testify this last week. She said, this year's been the worst year of my life. It's been the best year of my life. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I want to tell you, the presence of God is more precious in fire and affliction and difficulty and trouble than it is any other time. But you won't know it. That's where you really come to know the Lord. When Paul said in Philippians 3, he said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. So you're grieving, you're sorrowful, you got a heartache this morning, you've been through something rough. Guess what? You're going to get to know God a little better than this. You're going to get to know God. And after all, we don't want to forget the Lord and say we don't need Him. You don't be like Pharaoh and say, who is the Lord? I know not the Lord. Oh, a lot of people think they know God. They don't know God. The Lord is my salvation. First of all, it's nice to be raised in a Christian home and know that the Lord is your Father's God. But if you can't know that, you can know Him yourself and know Him as your own God, you must, or you'll go to hell. But then, the Lord is your salvation. It's not your church is your salvation. It's not your goodness. Well, it is your goodness. We talked about that in Sunday school, but it's not your good works. Because in your flesh dwells no good thing. Psalm 38:22 says, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. He says in, the Lord is my strength and song, He has become my salvation. In Exodus 15:2. In Psalm 118 and verse 14, the Lord is my light and my salvation. In Psalm 118 and verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. In Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. And one of the hardest things that there is to communicate to somebody is that salvation is in a person. Because they've been conditioned to believe that it's in some ritual or some kind of a liturgy, some program, some series of steps that they have to take in order to acquire salvation. Whether it's a 12-step of Alcoholics Anonymous or the Noble Eightfold Path of Buddhism, or whether it's the seven sacraments of Catholicism, it's always some kind of procedure. No, the Lord is my salvation. If you're saved, all I have to do to believe you're saved is I ask you, what are you trusting in? What are you trusting in to be saved? And if they say, I'm trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross and His shed blood and His righteousness imputed to me, I believe that's a saved person. And if somebody can't tell me that, I don't believe they're saved. Or at best, they don't know the Lord. They might have been saved and got messed up in some kind of weird off-the-wall heresy, but they don't know God. The Lord is my God. And that means He owns me. He can do as He pleases with me. But in the midst of His tribulations, I know Him. The Lord is my salvation. It's in Him and nowhere else. We're told the Lord is the horn of my salvation. And just very simply, horns in the Bible symbolize power. And it takes power to save a soul, doesn't it? The Lord is a horn of my salvation. And I say He comes mightily. There is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He lifted me up out of a horrible pit and planted my feet on a rock and established my goings. He raiseth the poor out of the dust and setteth the needy out of the dunghill and sitteth them among princes, even the princes of His people. That takes power. The Lord is the horn of my salvation. And the Lord is my helper. Psalm 54:4 says, "Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul." In Hebrews 13:6, Paul says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me." You know, the concept, if it stops there, I think it's been aborted. I think we need to take it past there. God is really more than just our helper. He's everything. But if your comprehension is only that far along, thank God for it. God help me to quit these cigarettes. Amen? God help me to quit laughing at those dirty jokes down at the job. God help me to quit looking at those dirty billboards when I'm driving down the road. And God, quit help me to quit looking at that stuff in the papers that they send to my house. And God, help me to love my brother and serve him like I'm supposed to. God, help me to abstain from all appearance of evil. God, help me to be a blessing. I mean, the Lord's my helper. And you up against something and you can't do anything about it, why don't you ask God to help you? I know that's awful simple. I know it's awful simple, but the Lord is my helper. You got a load you can't lift? Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My burden's light, and you take my yoke upon you." You know, he's strong enough to carry the whole load. You got two asses or two oxen that are yoked up together in a double yoke. And listen, if you got the Lord pulling, you can just go along for the walk. The Lord's my helper. And there you are stuck. You can't get the plow out of the ground and you can't move an inch. And the Lord says, "You come under my yoke and we'll plow together." We saw last week where the Lord showed up. The angel of the Lord showed up to Joshua as captain of the Lord's host, and Joshua said, "Are you for us or our adversaries?" He said, "Nay. But the captain of the Lord's host I am come." He said, "Joshua, I'm not getting under your yoke. You come get under mine. I'm not going to fight under your banner. You come fight under mine. The Lord is my helper. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And if you're defeated this morning, it's your own fault. Because you've got the greatest helper that you could possibly have. Just have you used Him this morning. The Lord is my helper. He's my Father's God. He's my God. He's my salvation. He's the horn of my salvation. And once I'm saved, He's my helper. You know, He's your God whether you're saved or not. And He provides salvation whether you take it or not. But He won't help you unless you trust in Him. He doesn't help you to be saved. He saves you. But He helps you do right once you're saved. And then the Lord is my light. David said in Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" The Lord is my light. You remember what it was like when you were just a little child and you had to go into a room by yourself and the light switch was on the far end of the room away from the door. Maybe it didn't have a light in the top of the room and it was maybe on a bedstand somewhere, a little lamp, and you had to turn the light off before you left the room or Dad was going to whip you. And so you made that switch and I'll tell you, did it from as far away as you possibly could. And you were already ready to do the 50-yard dash to the door. Man, you hit that light and boom, outside you were. And you made sure the hall light was on when you got there because you didn't want to have to run all the way down that hall with nobody. Hey, I'm still afraid of the dark. You heard me. I'm still afraid of the dark. I can walk through it without shivering, amen, but I don't like it. Not one bit. I don't have to have a nightlight when I sleep, but that's because my eyes closed. I can't tell that it's not on. The Lord's my light. Oh boy, just like I said, it only takes a little bit of light to have light at all. But that light grows brighter as we walk in the light. He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil, and that's the condemnation that's come into the world. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. The Lord's my light. And then everybody knows the Lord's my shepherd. In Psalm 23 and verse number 1, not only does he light your path, but he marks it out before you. He knows how to lead you. Beside the one fellow said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie. He leadeth me beside the still. That's not how it goes, amen? It's not how it goes. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. That 23rd Psalm is plenty of preaching on its own. But I just remind you that the Lord is my salvation. He's my God. He's my helper. He's the horn of my salvation. He's my light. He's my shepherd. He washes me when I need a bath. He shears me when my wool gets tangled. He protects me from the wolves and from the lions. He sees to it that I'm safe in the fold. And when I wander away, he comes after me and brings me back and says, rejoice, I've found my sheep that was lost. The Lord is my song. In Exodus 15:2, they said, the Lord is my strength and song. In Psalm 118 and verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song. In Isaiah 12 and verse 2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. The Bible says in Psalm 40, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. The Lord is my song. I like some other music, but I tell you, the music that stirs me up is the songs that sing about the Lord. I like songs of testimony, but I prefer songs about the Lord. I like songs about heaven, but I prefer songs about the Lord. You know, we've gotten so man-centered in everything that we do. We are so radically humanist that most preaching and most Christian music centers around me and how I feel. The great preachers of history would be boring to modern Christianity because they preach God. Amen. They didn't preach you and your feelings and you coping and you dealing with stress and all those things. They preached God. Yes. And we've exchanged theology for anthropology, and we've made a great switch from concerning God in our, or concerning ourselves with God and who He is, and we're all hung up on us and who we are. The Lord is my song. And I'm glad for somebody to sing what Jesus did for them. But let's make the emphasis on Jesus doing it, not what I felt. Amen. We're talking about what Jesus did, we'll get the right feeling. No problem with that. The Lord is my song. Amy Grant parading around in skin-tight leather pants singing about teenage sexual frustration is not the Lord's song. Amen? Amen. The Lord is my strength. In Exodus 15:2, again, the Lord is my strength. In Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Isn't it wonderful to know? And Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart gladly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. You ever meet a weak Christian? You ever meet a Christian? Have you ever been in your Christian life? We talk about burnout. Ministerial burnout. Somebody's out of touch with God. Amen? When did God's strength ever run out? Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. and set down the right hand of the majesty on high. Paul said, I've finished my course. He said, I pressed toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I like that saying in the Old Testament where I believe it was Joab said it, and I think it was Abishai he said it to, but he said, let us play the man for our people and our God. Paul told the Corinthians, quit ye like men. When does a man quit? A man quits when he can't raise his foot another step. That's when he quits. A man doesn't say, oh, it's a little rough, and I think I'll just give up now. No, a man keeps going. A good man, a real man, doesn't quit until he can't go another step. The Lord is my strength. That tells me as long as God lives, I can go another step. Because it's not my strength that raises my foot. And you quit, you sit on, you go out of here and you go sit on a bar stool and cry to yourself and feel sorry for yourself and suck your thumb. You don't know God. You need to get back in touch with God. The Lord is your strength. God is my salvation. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. Habakkuk 3 and verse 19 says. You ever go deer hunting? You ever shoot one of those things? Somebody said the other day, if Christians had the will to serve God that a deer has to stay alive, you couldn't stop the church. Make my feet like hinds' feet, you know, and what we kind of get this pretty picture in our mind. I suppose it's okay. But you know, you've got this antelope or this deer, you know, just kind of jumping from peak to peak to peak out in the woods someplace unmolested. But I wonder if David's not talking about one that just took an arrow through the chest. But they still run. And they still leap. And they still keep pressing on. And they go until the last drop of blood leaves their body just about. It's a hard thing to kill a deer. It's a hard thing. David said, my feet, he makes my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon my high places. Isaiah 40:10, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord's your strength. Jeremiah 12:5 says, if you've run with a footman and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in a land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do with the swelling of Jordan? How will you do? If you can't run with a footman, then the Lord is not your strength. Well, you got to learn how to use His strength. You got to learn how to rely on His strength. You got to learn how to forsake your own and trust in His. But the point of the issue is you don't have to quit. You don't have to experience burnout. You don't have to wear out in the ministry till the Lord takes you home. The Lord is my buckler in Psalm 18:2. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler. If the Lord's my buckler, we've been talking about the shield of faith on Wednesday nights in the book of Ephesians. But that buckler, that is a small shield. The shield, that's the big one. That's the one that looks like a door. The buckler, that's the one that looks like a garbage can lid. You know, and sometimes you are on your own. God intends for you to unite with His people and together serve Him. And the shield of faith, as it's working in Ephesians 6, again, that's y'all having your faith in the same thing and your faith in the same goals and objectives and serving God together. You know, but there'll be some times where you'll be on your own. You don't run out on your own. But I tell you what, when it seems like you are on your own and God's left you on your own, He's your buckler. Amen? He'll protect you. He'll shield you. He'll defend you. He'll deflect the fiery darts of the wicked. The Lord is my shield. In Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth and with my song will I praise Him. He's my shield. When you get back in with God's people and when you find where you're supposed to be and you're serving the Lord and you're not kind of adrift and wondering what the will of God is, but when you've got planted, you put shield to shield, edge to edge with God's people and you advance. you conquer. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my deliverer, as 2 Samuel 22:2 says. It also says in Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my deliverer. Maybe you're in the middle of a horrible thing. Maybe your heart's been broken. Maybe you don't see any way out. But the Lord is my deliverer. And if the only deliverance that you have is to hear the shout and the trumpet and to depart this world in the twinkling of an eye, you'll be delivered. Amen? Either that way or through the deathbed. But thank God you don't have eternal life on earth. I'm so glad that the tree of life is not over in the Garden of Eden for me to go get a piece. I'd be stupid enough to eat it. Then I'd have to live here. One of these days I'm going to be delivered. Amen? Oh, He'd deliver you in sorrow. He'd deliver you out of your afflictions. And He's your defense. Psalm 94:22 says, but the Lord is my defense. And my God is the rock of my refuge. You know, we've been talking about the battle kind of out there. But when it gets really, really hot, and you've got to have a fortress that you run and hide in, so that you can climb up in the bulwarks and start shooting at the enemy from behind the protection of the rock. The Lord says, He's my defense. And He's my rock. In 2 Samuel 22:2, in Psalm 18:2, in Psalm 92 and 15, He says, He's my rock and there's no unrighteousness in Him. The man or the captain leads them out and says, it's time to go attack the enemy, and we go on the offensive. And God, thank God, our Lord has never lost a battle. But you know, if we wander away from the captain and we wind up out on our own somewhere, and we find out the battle's getting really hot around us and absolute full retreat, we can run to the refuge. Amen? And wait till the armies come back in and regroup. We can get our wounds salved, and we can get our broken bones bound up, and we can have the oil, the balm of Gilead, poured on our sores, and we can be restored in my defense and in my fortress. And thank God it's on the rock. Amen? The Lord is my defense and my rock and my fortress and my refuge. The Lord is my high tower. I wonder if that's not a reference to the upper room. You know, we fight. So many of these things are military. Think about Oliver Green. He's buried down there in a cemetery in Greenville, South Carolina, where I used to be a groundskeeper. And had that job for a couple of months when I first moved to town. And right across the back fence, you could see the Gospel Hour. And that's where his headquarters were, where he did all his writing and where they printed all his books and tracts and things. And there's just this one part of the building that's about three stories tall. And that was the prayer tower. And you can go by there and you can see it. And it just sticks up in the air. And when he died, that's where they found him. They found him on his knees up there in that prayer tower. You know, and I mean, I don't know, it's just something about getting alone, getting up high, away from things. The Lord is my high tower. And you know, when you really know the Lord, you don't always see the end from the beginning. God doesn't always reveal everything there is to see. But when you get up there, you kind of get the better picture of what's going on. I mean, when I'm down low and I'm looking at everything horizontally, there's obstacles that block my vision from what's ahead. And maybe I wanted to take a particular course and God said, no, I don't want you going that route. And what was waiting down the road for me would have destroyed me if I'd have followed that course. But it looked so good. But you know, I get up in that high tower. And I look up in the Sears Tower, you know, and you can look around, you can see where all the streets lead. And you see where things wind up. And you can look behind, and you can look ahead, and you can look from side to side, and you can realize you're in the right place. And maybe if you're not in the right place, maybe if you made a mistake, maybe if you're planning a particular course and you're setting out to do that, you run into that high tower and the Lord can say, not that way. There's danger waiting down there. There's harmful things waiting down there. Oh, you won't get anywhere. You'll be stopped if you take that route. And then, Lord, you run into that high tower and say, God, I need some direction. God, I need some leadership. God, I need you to show me what I'm to do. The Lord's my high tower. And you can see the whole thing from where He sits. He may not tell you all, but He knows. He's the watchman on the wall. He's the sentry. The Lord's my portion. Lamentations 3 and verse number 24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. You probably like certain foods. I like different things. I'm thinking about Thai food this afternoon. We got a bunch of little girls coming over the house, and they're going to have a tea party. And something about that makes me want to go out to eat. You know what I mean? If there's something I really like, I want a big portion. And if I don't really like it, I'll take a little bit to be polite. But if I find out that it tastes good, I want a bigger portion. Amen? All it tastes and see, the Lord is good. And the Lord is my portion. And I'm not just satisfied with just enough of God to keep me from falling apart at the seams. No, I want a good portion. I want to feast on that heavenly manna. I want to just load myself up, my plate up, with the bread of life and feast at God's table. The Lord is my portion. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. I asked this morning, what are you waiting for? David knew God. He knew God so many ways. And I'm not going to recite all of them again, but oh, he's so many things to the child of God. The Lord is my, and He's yours. S.M. Lockridge preached a very famous message. And in this message he said, my King is a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's the king of righteousness. That's king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's king of kings and lord of lords. I wonder if you know him. David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show this handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define His limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shoreless supply. No barrier can hinder Him from throwing out His blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And He's impartially merciful. Do you know the Lord? He's the greatest phenomena that ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of Himself. He's august and He's unique. He is unparalleled and unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature, the highest personality in philosophy, the supreme problem of higher criticism, the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the core, the necessity of spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call Him. He's the only one qualified to be the all-sufficient Savior. He's strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes, He saves, He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debts. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He purifies the meek. He's my King. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance, the pathway of peace, the roadway of righteousness, the highway of holiness, and the gateway of glory. His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteousness. His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him. But He's indescribable. He's God. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get Him out of your mind. And you can't get Him off your hand. You can't outlive Him, and you can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found they couldn't stop Him. Pilate found no fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Do you know the Lord this morning? Who is the Lord? I've done the best I could to tell you who He is, but you know, I can magnify Him all morning long, but you're only going to find out for yourself. And as long as there's an idol in your heart, you'll never know the Lord. As long as there's something that you say, I'm going to hold on to that. And God is not worth giving that up for Him. You'll never know the Lord. Let's stand and bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, You really are indescribable, and to spend the last 45 minutes trying to say who is the Lord. And God, we've not even begun to scratch the surface. We've not even remotely pulled back the veil and glimpsed into the holiest of all. And God, You're immortal, invisible, God only wise, pavilioned in splendor and hid from our eyes. Lord, thank You that in Jesus Christ dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared God. And Lord, this morning we've desired to see You. Lord, I've desired to reveal You. And God, I pray, Lord, that the effect of this, Lord, whether anybody comes forward or in any way responds to this invitation, Lord, I pray, God, that people want to know God. And when the Holy Spirit pricks their hearts and cautions them about something, Lord, that they ought not be saying or doing or thinking or loving or following, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they'd realize, Lord, that they're not going to know You. They're going to lose You. You're going to dry up and drift away, Lord, just like the presence of God left the temple in the days of Ezekiel and just rose up and floated off on the horizon and nobody even knew He was gone. Lord, the Spirit departed from Samson. He wist not. God, Paul said, I'm concerned lest having preached to others, I myself become a castaway. And Lord, I pray, Father, we'd know You. Lord, and seek to know You more. And remove any barrier that would hinder that from happening for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing number 161. If you need to come for any reason, the altar will be open. Number 161.
Brother Don Roque dismissed us in prayer this morning.
Lord, we thank thee that you are our rock.
Yes, amen.
We thank thee that we can look to you, keep our eyes on you, and all good be afraid. We can stay in your word.
Amen.
We pray for those who are not on your word and who help them understand your word. We pray this all in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen. Amen.